don't. Ever since I was a little baby, I always been dribbling. In fact, I was the baddest dribbler in the whole neighborhood. Then one day, my mama bought me a basketball. And I loved that basketball. I took that basketball with me everywhere I went. That basketball was like a basketball to me.
Outstanding. Welcome you to another edition. Thank you to my friends at Smartway and my friends at your Garza Law Firm. Unlike your basketball boss tonight, I actually showed up. I actually decided to show up and do this tonight, unlike our basketball volunteers who decided to, I guess they decided they just didn't feel like it tonight. Damn, I hate when that happens. Well, first thing I'm going to say is Tennessee got waylaid by a 500 basketball team. But basketball is a game of matchups. We know that. And Tennessee tonight was truthfully never in that game. So basketball is a game of matchups. And I want to welcome you in. You're part of the revolution here tonight. My name is Basilio, emanating live from the Raymir studio. Tonight's game kind of brought me back. Kind of really brought me back. And so, I sit here with you tonight, appreciating that this team is anywhere near 500, and they are. I want to thank my friends at, as I was saying before, at Smartway and also your Garza Law Firm. Remember Smartway, located at 8416 Kingston Pike. I want to give you an opportunity to talk about the game tonight and the weekend that was. Canty is suspended indefinitely at Auburn. And I want to hope against hope that has something to do with Stephen Pearl. And even if it doesn't, let's just kind of, can we start the rumor that he went after him? I mean, can we? Can we start the rumor that maybe, just maybe, just maybe he went after him today? That Kentucky team that we beat earlier, they waylaid Florida today. Some other classic basketball. Tennessee's game tonight with Arkansas. That was to... And the thing is, that's just a horrible matchup. I mean, I'm not going to bitch and moan about that game, because it really is a terrible matchup. And I want to remind you, a great matchup is you and Smartway. All the great brand names like Whirlpool, Xbox, Frigidaire, Samsung, Dell, HP, Sony, Toshiba, LG, Ashley, you name it, they've got it. Professor Smarty has made it a resolution in 2016 that you will save smart. You will shop and buy smart. You will have something to show for your hard work at SmartWay. Furniture, appliances, electronics, computers, tablets, tires, phones. SmartWay. Online at gosmartway.net. I'm going to bring Hatfield in here momentarily. I want to remind you that the Garza Law Firm also is presenting tonight's activity. And thank you to the Garza Law Firm for helping to present tonight's activity, which is a absolute work of the common fan and the love that we have for the common fan on this glory evening. It's pretty outstanding, if I can say so myself. Pretty outstanding. I felt like we were back to the future tonight. I felt like we were back to the future. I'm trying to make it all work here. Do I want to take you inside the numbers for tonight's game? I mean, the numbers, I don't know. What do the numbers mean tonight? I'm going to ask Hatfield when I bring him up here momentarily, how many more of these do we have to sit through this year? And what I mean is, how many more games before we take the floor will we not have a chance to win? Because tonight's game, we had no chance to win before taking the floor tonight. Now that's just straight up word. That's straight up, cold-blooded, in-your-face word. We had no chance tonight. I mean, I could sit here and talk about the level of effort and kind of the rock-headed play and all that stuff, and that's true. There wasn't a great, I didn't see a great amount of effort in that game. We tonight were to them what John Pelfrey is to broadcasting. Overmatched. John Pelfrey and the other guy doing that game, whoever that is effing horrible. Whatever that was. And so I sit here tonight. Whew. I sit here tonight as somebody appreciating what I saw. And the reason I'm getting my live commercials in is I'm going to give you the level of effort my basketball team gave you tonight. If you get 45 minutes out of me tonight, it is a damn miracle. It's a miracle. It'll be a miracle. I'm bringing the great Keith Hatfield in. Garza Law Firm, ladies and gentlemen. Online, tncriminallaw.com. tncriminallaw.com. I speak the truth. Tonight's game was an overmatch matchup. Tuesday night is I got circled. I got my calendar, I'm making my list, and I'm checking it twice. We ain't losing to Auburn twice in one season. That is not happening. It's going to be another night where we do our in the paint. I'll be sitting next to Hatfield and Tindall. And then a short while later, we will be barbecuing Bruce Pearl and Auburn. That team right there and beating us twice in one season. And with Canty out, there's no way that's happening. No way that's happening. Knoxville DUI lawyer, criminal defense lawyer in Knoxville. Garza Law Firm striving to stand out, providing you the highest level of customer service, committed to listening, responding to your unique legal needs. Marcos Garza, he is a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. He's got your six, he's got your back. He's got your six, he's got your back. Just as South Carolina got a big victory, Marcos Garza gets a lot of big victories for his people. Texas A&M's on the slide. I'm going to bring the great, you bow your head when you say his name. I'm going to bring the great Keith Hatfield in here without further ado. Keith, I don't know how much I got in me tonight, I'll be honest with you here, because I don't think it's a whole hell of a lot. And I'm going to start this off by asking you, how many more times this year are we going to go into a game with no chance? Because tonight we had no chance.
Well, I don't think they'll have much of a chance up in Lexington. I don't think they'll have much of a chance down in Nashville.
Yes.
That's probably the games they won't have a chance. I mean, tonight's just a perfect equation.
Yep.
And I'll be shocked if it just isn't a complete role reversal when Arkansas comes up here later in the season. They're both teams that play pretty doggone well at home.
Yes.
And absolutely dismally on the road. So my guess is we'll see pretty much a inversion of what we saw tonight when they come up here in a few weeks.
My question is, how can that team we saw, that Arkansas team, how can they be 500? And I know they've played a tough schedule this year. I understand that. How is that a 500 basketball team? What am I missing?
I don't think they're very. I think they've got one of the same problems Tennessee does. I don't think they're very good inside. I had one of their beat writers on yesterday on the show, and I agree with him. I made the point, and he agreed with it, that Moses Kingsley's numbers are strictly the product of the fact that post playing the SEC this year is just trash. I mean, the fact that guy's getting 17-10 in your league means your league stinks at that position.
But we had no answer for Moses Kingsley tonight.
Well, no. Look at some of the other big guys we've made look good this year. I mean, that using Tennessee's front line as a measuring stick is going to make a whole lot of guys look like a Hakeem Olajuwon. I think they're a team that's good enough with the style they play that they get people sped up and feed off turnovers and everything at home most of the time. And that's going to work, but you're not going to win on the road doing that. You're not going to get a friendly whistle, so you're going to be in foul trouble. The other team's going to shoot a million free throws. And I mean, it hurts them immensely that Michael Qualls went pro a year sooner than he should have. I mean, you put Michael Qualls on that team, that's probably an NCAA tournament team. So if you look at their schedule, I mean, it's the only decent point John Pelfrey made all night. I wouldn't be shocked if Arkansas makes the NCAA tournament because of their last eight games. If they find a way to just be competent on the road, given the bad teams they're playing, they can probably win seven of their final eight.
No question. And then if they're sitting there with 16, 17, 18 wins and that high RPI with that high strength of schedule, away you go. Because here's the thing at the bottom of the field. We saw this in Konzo's one NCAA tournament team. They're looking for people to put in. They're looking for people to
play their way out
at the end.
I mean, you don't play your
way out.
You don't play your way into the bottom of the field. Other teams play their way out. The last three or four at large spots.
Let's talk about, and by the way, 865-200-5402, if you want to get in with us tonight, it is your Smart Way Garza Law Firm. Tennessee Basketball Overtime, the place where rain or shine, we talk about it. Win or lose, we talk about it. Beautiful or ugly, we talk about it. Late or early, we talk about it. Holiday or not holiday, we talk about it. Whether I'm running a fever, pneumatic, or just basically having one of my mental breakdowns, we talk about it. Whether Keith is sober or borderline inebriated, we talk about it. Whether I'm urinated off or happy as a clown, we talk about it. Hatfield, let's talk here. What's going on with Canty at Auburn, and do you expect him to be eligible for this game?
I'll be stunned if he plays Tuesday. Well, if he plays Tuesday night, that'll show how desperate Bruce is to win that game. Because, I mean, when you've got a guy who's having incidents with staff members, I mean, they admitted that much that's what it is. I mean, obviously.
It was Stephen Pearl, wasn't it? It was either Stephen Pearl or Chuck Peeple. And I don't think he's smart enough to mess with Chuck Peeple.
I'll leave it at this. If he went after Chuck Person, he wouldn't be there anymore.
To quote a 5-year-old girl that lives in my neighborhood, Chuck Peeple would have him for dessert. He looks like a little chicken wing to Chuck Peeple.
Well, see, I'm just befuddled by the media treatment of that story today, and I get it. Bruce was one of their guys.
Right.
Everything. But you bring in a complete rockhead who has NBA, borderline NBA talent, but
yes,
ends up at Marshall, which should tell you something. To start, Smith was a criminal. I mean, come on.
Steven, I want to believe. I want, and by the way, 865-200-5402, we got no phone calls. I want to believe that it was Stephen F. and Pearl. I want to believe it.
Well, I think I
want to be there. I want to believe it. And in case you don't know why we call him Stephen F. and Pearl on this show, Bino's cousin was down on Cumberland Avenue. And Stephen Pearl was not being let into an establishment. A couple of the young basketball players when he was there. And Stephen Pearl said, "You guys back up." He was 18 years old at the time. He told these two kids on the team, he said, "I'm Stephen F. and Pearl, and I run this town." Stephen F. and Pearl, and I run this town. And to that I say, that's high comedy. That's high comedy.
You gotta run out of this town.
We're gonna go to the phones. People are asking about TR tonight. TR's welcome to call in. I got no beef with nobody. I like that Hall of Fame vote tonight. I thought T.O. belonged in. What'd you think of the Hall of Fame vote tonight, Hatfield?
I'm kind of ambivalent. I don't know if I ought to thank the writers for finally doing the right thing by Ken Stabler.
I agree. Tell him
to go to hell for what he can go after he was dead to do.
No question.
That's my take out of it.
How about my Sixers? You want to hear something unbelievable about my Sixers that you'll love? So they wanted to retire, because they're trying any way they can to fill their building. So they were going to retire Moses Malone's number.
Right.
And Moses said to them, "You know, that's great." He said, "I'm all for that. I love my time, and I'm always going to be a Sixer in my mind, blah, blah, blah." He said, "I want my teammates. If you're going to put my name up there on a banner, put the 83 team. Let's just retire and recognize the 83 team." The Sixers would not pay to fly in a bunch of members from the 83 team, those guys unattached. And so Moses Malone drops out of a heart attack, and they don't even get their Moses Malone night. How great is that? I mean, how...
That's just...
And now Snake Stabler all of a sudden is a Hall of Famer. Because he died.
Yeah, I got a problem. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame player.
I agree with that. That's what I'm saying. I agree with you.
The problem with he'll probably be the last quarterback of that generation to get in, because passing numbers are now monopoly money.
That's right.
So by comparison, all those guys from the 70s and the 80s, I mean, Plunkett's probably not a Hall of Famer, but he has no chance of getting in.
No.
Those guys in that era, other than the very, very top of the top, have zero chance of getting in.
People are asking what happened on the Auburn staff today, Keith, on the Periscope. What happened?
Well, I mean, they issued a release saying Canty was suspended, and it stemmed from an incident with a staff member at practice, I think, yesterday. And he's suspended indefinitely. I'll let Auburn's release speak for itself.
To the phones we go. Try to get as many people in here as humanly possible.
I don't want to speculate.
On a day where Kentucky discombobulated Florida, on a day where A&M continues to struggle, this time a loss at home, a big win for South Carolina, resume building, important win for them.
LSU's leading this conference now.
LSU's now leading the conference. Which... Well, it shows you, though, they've got so many NBA basketball players that they can't screw it up.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to disagree with Donnie, but I got to disagree with Donnie. I think they got four NBA guys. I think Blake needs an NBA player, too.
Donnie said three, right?
Yeah, he said Craig Victor, obviously Simmons, and Quarterman. I think Antonio Blakeney is, too. I think they've got four.
To the phones we go. We got as many people
either,
here.
Either way, the fact they lost, I'll grant that Hornsby and Victor were hurt earlier, but the fact that bunch lost to College of Charleston earlier and some of the other people they lost to earlier this year is hilarious.
To the phones we go. Keith, Pearl's going to try to get involved with that Memphis job. He's going to try to get involved with the UNLV job. He's going to try to get involved with any job.
Well, his greatest fear right now with the UNLV job is that the Kings fire George Karl.
Can he, is he attractive to one of those places? Or does what's happened at Auburn so far hurt him? Does, is the star off him a little bit?
Auburn, I mean, granted, I'm going to be the last guy to take Bruce's side on it, but no, he took over a mess down there.
Okay.
Do I think their talent has been a little better than they've played the last 2 years? I mean, when you bring in the number one junior college player in the country, last year you had the leading returning scorer in the SEC, and you transferred in the leading returning scorer in the nation, and you lose 20 games. You bring in a highly touted recruiting class this year. They're not much better, if at all better this year. And they've got some injuries, and one of their better recruits didn't qualify. I don't think the shine would be off to where he couldn't get one of those two jobs. But I think the hook is, if he stays a third year.
That's right.
And they're not considerably better next year.
That's right. They're going to be on buried. Him. He's going to get run.
Yeah.
Well,
he'll be buried.
He's going to get run.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know that Auburn would invest the money it would take to buy him out and get rid of him. But the thing there is, you're stuck at Auburn for forever then.
Yeah. And then you start looking like Jeff Lebo. Let's go to the phones.
I think if he can get out of there this year, his time on Auburn will have been two seasons.
Jeff Lebo was hot. He looked like a thumb with eyes. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Do what?
Coach like a Richard with ears.
Oh, gosh! Let's get our first call in tonight on your smart way. Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Keith Hatfield reporting from a downtown locale that will be revealed here momentarily, because Keith has the party with him, to quote the great Hannah Montana. Let's get our first call in. Hello and welcome.
What's going on in our beautiful Clancy Tavern by the beautiful Tennessee Theater? This is Brian, brother.
Hey, Brian, what's up, man?
Hey, man, I was going to talk some game tonight, but there's nothing to talk about, so I will keep it basketball Tennessee, though. That's fair enough.
Right ahead.
Did you have a chance to see the little JPEG / Twitter video or any kind of recording of Lucas Campbell coming off the bench the other day, eating up the slop, eating the gravy off
that
the
bench?
That
was so funny.
That was Tony B stuff.
Hey, those guys, I'd say this for white kids around America right now. White kids around America are having the time of their lives on college benches this year. These kids have figured out a way to get on television.
Dude, I knew he's okay, I guess, hearing some radio stuff, but I watched a little bit of trying to find that. I had to go through a few things. That boy can get up. My God, he dunked on some folks last year in high school. That kid can play a little bit, huh?
He's very athletic, yeah.
I don't know if he's a walk-on. We're not going to see the kid. I understand all that, but there's my one Tennessee thing that nothing to do with tonight. The second one, I'm just going to forget and have fun listening to you talk, man. Appreciate you giving me the sentiments about my dad, and I love you, brother. Kid, and hang in there, man.
Thank you, man. Good talking to you. 865-200. Keith, what's the team up in the Northeast where the kids...
Monmouth.
I mean, the kids on the bench are having an unbelievable time. If you're going to go to practice, and they figured out a way to get on television.
Well, and they got a break, too. I mean, it helps when you beat Notre Dame and USC and all the people they beat in the pre-conference. It helps. I mean, you can be sitting down there doing Shakespeare on the end of the bench if you're Monmouth and you're 12-12. Nobody's going to notice. I mean, the fact the guys on the floor are actually good help those guys immensely.
Let's go back to our phones. We'll get as many people in here as humanly possible. We'll try and get as many folks in. Might have to go down to Alamonies and get myself a pedicure. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony and Keith.
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, it's Don.
Hey, Donnie.
I'm probably fixing to lose you because my battery's starting to go. But, anyhow, I wasn't going to let tonight take the great feelings from Tuesday night and Wednesday.
Great point, Don.
Hey, you know, this team just, sometimes they're there and sometimes they're not. When they are, they're great. When they're not, they're not. I mean, that's just the way, and like he said, it's matchups. I mean, you know, they had the guards and stuff. stuff to make it difficult for punter, at least for the first half. And somehow he still manages with these 24 points by the end of the night.
How? Where does he? Where do you get his 24 points?
Well, four threes helped.
Yeah, he had a couple of flurries. He had a couple of like three basket flurries. So he did a good job. He did what good scorers do when their team's having a bad night. He made sure he went and got his. And I don't say that in a bad way.
No, not at all. I mean, not at all. I mean, he had to do what he had to do, you know. But, no, this team's just got a lot of shortcomings, but I still, you know, I don't give up on them because I never know when another Tuesday night's coming along, so I'll sit here and watch them. But, they just got a lot of shortcomings. I'm really, although he did do that as much tonight, I still think Kyle Alexander has a real shot at developing in the next couple of years, don't you, Keith?
Oh, I thought again tonight. I think he's making significant progress. He's got a long way to go, but you tell me that kid's only played 3 years of competitive basketball, and he's as athletic as he is, and obviously has a frame that's going to be able to put on at least a little more weight. Yeah, I'm encouraged. Now,
yeah, I'm very.
I'll be a lot more encouraged if they go find a guy his size who's probably a little more ready made and ready to
right.
go.
Right.
But I think I'm hoping the kid from Turkey ends up here is the main thing. I mean, you end up with him, pretty good front line next year.
Tell me about the kid from Turkey.
I mean, he plays for Fenerbahce, which is one of the best teams over there. I mean, he played in that series where they play an NBA team earlier this year and played about 13 minutes a game and averaged 6 and 6. Now, granted, it was against the Nets, so it's kind of borderline NBA competition. But, no, I mean, if he comes over here, I mean, there's an argument. I mean, they're trying to figure out a way to get him into this year's NBA draft, and if he ends up in the draft, he'll probably be a top 15 or so pick.
Who will we have to beat to get to Turkey?
I'm certain Duke's involved.
Oh,
anybody, got to remember, we won the last recruiting battle with Duke. We had with Duke with Robert, with Konzo Martin as the coach.
Well,
that's our, well, I'm not going to do that.
Well, guys, I won't belabor it tonight. Let's just hope Peyton can go out and win a Super Bowl tomorrow and we can be happy again for a few days. But other than that, I'll bid you adieu and hope.
Don, you're my man. Love you, brother. Don got through that call without ripping the officiating. That's how bad that matchup was tonight.
Yeah, I didn't think the officiating affected.
Had nothing to do with it. In fact, I'll say this: how's John Pelfrey working? Do you find, was he drunk?
He was essentially a cigar store Indian as a coach, and they brought the same personality to being a broadcaster.
What did you call him?
A cigar store Indian.
That is like it touches a lot of things with me. First of all, it's politically incorrect.
How is that politically incorrect?
I don't know. It just sounds like it. It's 26.
Wait a minute. You're accusing me of saying something politically incorrect. I mean, I was going to come on here and talk about did you notice how the Arkansas crowd roared at the officials every time that Hannah's kid got even touched?
Can I ask you something else about Arkansas? About tonight's game? Speaking of the officials. What are they doing looking at the monitor in a 20-point game with 2 minutes left?
Oh, I'm sure there's some sort of grading scale, though,
that the
supervisor of officials, well, why didn't you do that? You're supposed to do that. I'm sure that's part of it. So. But I thought Alexander was okay tonight. I thought Shambari Phillips was okay tonight.
I agree.
I mean, there's
some bright spots.
This team... Win the two games next week. That's the main thing for me. Win the two games next week. Cause I think I've got the schedule right. Next Saturday's Missouri there, right?
That's right. And that is a layup as we get our next
game. Well, I mean, those two games, I mean, how many combined games in a row of the two teams we played next week lost? Like 18 or something?
And we've already lost to Auburn once this year. That ain't happening again. There's just no way.
If we lose to them without Kareem Canty, I probably won't be doing the show Tuesday night because I'd say things that would get us banned forever.
I'm betting the contents of the entire Ray Mears studio. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
What's going on, Tony?
Hey, brother, welcome in.
Hey, you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to get known as the white big wheel. Is that okay with you?
I just get your call. I mean, don't do that.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, you talk about Lucas Campbell. My best friend, he coaches the Tennessee Bobcats.
Mm-hmm.
Had, Lucas Campbell, John Fulkerson, Peyton Woods.
Mm-hmm.
The former kid. The brother, the defensive back from,
Malik Foreman's brother. Mm-hmm. Where's he now? Where's Malik Foreman's brother?
He's going to Army, Tony.
Good for him. That's great. Now, is he going to play hoops or is he going to serve or a little bit of both?
He's going to play hoops. But,
good for him.
It's my understanding. You got to do both.
Yeah. Oh, I know that. But what I meant is he going to go there as a basketball player or is he just enlisting? But that's great.
No,
either way.
Yeah, he's going as a basketball player.
Ah, man, hell, that's good for him. That's West Point. That's incredible.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Peyton Wood, I want to get...
Hatfield.
I want to get Hatfield's take on Peyton Woods. Hatfield, do you not think we should have signed that guy?
Well, I think you always you try to give the kids that have some connection to the program the benefit of the doubt. But I mean, I like Lamonte. I mean, in all honesty, I like Lamonte Turner better. I like Quay Parker. I like the guys they're bringing in better. I mean, I certainly think. I mean, because the thing is, you end up. I mean, we're already overloaded at the perimeter on the perimeter as it is. I think if they had more big guys, if the roster were more balanced. I think that's a guy Tennessee might well have signed because he can play. I certainly don't think he'd be just a giveaway scholarship or a legacy scholarship. But I think you've got to balance your roster too. And I think the guys they've gotten are better. But if they had signed him, I wouldn't be irate.
Well, the only thing I'm saying is he's 50% from the field. He's about 48% from 3-point. And he's about 85% from the line. But here's the deal is I think he kind of got caught in that in-between deal where they were going from one coach to another. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, that's definitely a problem. Yep.
That happens to kids all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. But anyway.
Because Barnes would have no reason to evaluate him when he was at Texas.
Exactly.
So he's coming in completely blind on him. I mean, he does, and you can't expect him to. I mean, I don't expect Rick Barnes in the short time he had before the signing period last year to know who Rodney Woods is.
Jigger, people are saying, why do you want to rehash this? And this is just what I'm getting on Twitter right now. They say, why do you want to rehash this? Peyton Woods at UTC is going to have a fine career there. And some people are wondering, who's Peyton Woods? Why is Peyton Woods so important? That's Rodney Woods' boy, the former Vol great, yes?
Tony, the reason is because I think Rodney Woods was the greatest point guard in the history of Tennessee basketball.
And didn't he help us find Chris Lofton?
Probably yes. Did.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
Yes, he spotted him. He called my man Buzzball, and he said, hey, Buzzball. He said, I got something for you. Buzzball. Because my man up there at Louisville wouldn't take him because I don't know why.
Tubby Smith had no interest in him.
And Tubby Smith had no interest in him. But the guy at Louisville's pissed off because he thought he was untouchable. I mean, he thought he was the modern-day Elliot Ness. You wear that pimp suit. You wear your white suit, Rick Pelino. And I guess you think you're untouchable. Keith, you believe him coming out and saying what he said? Here's a man that's fortunate that they haven't taken him out. They haven't kneecapped him.
Oh, that it's a broken punishment system when they're the ones
yes.
who punish their own kids?
Yes.
Oh, if I were Damian Lee and they'd pulled that on me, I would go in with a tire iron on Rick Pitino.
Unbelievable, Andy Mack.
You bring in two high quality fifth year senior transfers who could go any damn where they wanted to in the country and played pretty much, especially Damian Lee. And you pull that nonsense?
Absolutely.
Oh, Damian Lee sat out today with a quote knee injury. If I were him, my damn knee would hurt the rest of the season.
Better believe it. Needs a Jemby drum, Jake.
I love the show. My internet's cut off, so...
Jake, I love you, buddy. Okay, keep doing what you're doing, man. Hey, Saturday night's all right for fighting, brother. Just a song I heard. I don't know. It's what I've heard. Hatfield, you are presented by...
our friends at Clancy's Tavern and Whiskey House in downtown Knoxville, next to the historic Tennessee Theater.
I've decided Tuesday night, I'm going to light some African candles in here. I'm going to get me a Jemby drum, and we're going to have us a reenactment.
So to be honest, people are giving him hell about that. I'm all for that.
I love that.
You got to get players, man.
You got to get players, man.
You got to get players. And that's in his personality.
I got it. You got to do it. I agree with you. Here's the thing. These guys, none of them, won't do anything to get a player. They won't say anything.
Look at it this way.
Yes.
I think that Tongbo's parents strike me, from what little few interviews and stuff I've seen, strike me as pretty savvy folks.
Yes, they are.
If Nick Saban comes in there and tries that act, they're going to go, oh, this isn't his personality. This is nonsense. It fits how Freeze does his business.
I'm all for
it's
Freeze.
I'll put it this way. It's like Bruce Pearl painting his chest. As much as that pissed me off, and I thought it was idiotic and looked stupid, that's Bruce Pearl. If Lon Kruger does it, I'd say it looks even stupider.
You got to be who you are.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like me right now. I'm surrounded, for those that can't see the periscope, in the Ray Mir studio. I'm kind of building a background. I've got a thing over here that was designed by B-Ball Lee that says Reject State Run Radio. It's got like a Stalin-looking dude. I got... you've seen that hat?
That's yes.
I've got a USFL Cup, Birmingham Stallion Cup, that is holding up right now a Buzz Ball mini ball that I found that's got like yuck all over it.
Like the entire Peterson era.
I've got a Lady Vol soccer jersey signed by a team from like 7 or 8 years ago. I've got a Green Power t-shirt hanging down. I've got a sign here that says, don't let an animal tell you how to think. I've got a thing here that makes Jimmy Hyams look like a Bolshevik that says, enough, it does, you ought to see it, enough with agendas and party lines. And I'm worried about Hugh Freeze's Jemby drum.
I did
Brother Love the other day, and we are going to do that, by the way. Let's go back to the phones.
I get the distinct impression that whole deal, the whole idea of,
hang on a second. I got one other item here that I'm surrounded by. I've got a Buzz Peterson with his pelvic area detached and his arms ripped off, a bobblehead doll. No basketball, no pelvic region. Like an emasculated Buzz Peterson.
Yeah, at the rate this is going, I don't think I have to worry about Cumulus calling me.
Yeah, something tells me you'll be guilty by association.
Yeah, I get a funny feeling. I think the takedown of Deerstone after the Kentucky game probably set that in motion.
Let's get our next call in on a night where Tennessee just never even got off the bus. I mean, let's just call it what it was. Call it what you will. Don't call it love. Quote Chasm Sultan. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
What's up, brother?
Hey, brother, what's up?
Nothing much, man. How you doing?
Hey, who's this?
Action Jackson.
Oh, hey, Steven Action Jackson.
I really like your Jimmy Hyams poster. You need one with Brent Hubbs.
No, I'm not going to do that. I don't take personal shots at people. It's not our style here.
I'm seeing some on Periscope saying we don't care, or we're not playing with effort. And I think that's not fair to those kids.
I agree with that.
It wasn't effort. We're just not very good.
We're not very good, and I think you need to address that in your next video. Have I put your other video up yet?
No.
I'm doing that. Okay, that's coming Monday. AJ has a new video he wants to share with you. And let me tell you something. There's outstanding, and then there's this. AJ, you are a young Kris Kristofferson. A star is born.
Well, I appreciate that, Tony. I mean, on the way out, I'm two things. I'm really
yes.
looking forward to Hatfield's vituperation of our former Jewish Rose on Tuesday. And Hatfield, my Knoxville
yes,
female my Knoxville female liaison says all the action's at the mouse's ear.
Hatfield, what do you think of Action Jackson's videos?
Well, I think they're a welcome addition to the Basilio broadcast platforms.
I just dabbed a second ago, and somebody said I dab when Don calls in, usually because I'm nodding off. People are now, that's how bad today's show was, tonight's game, rather. People are now asking me to do things to myself physically, Keith. Which is generally how every other Periscope, you know, devolves.
I'm a big believer that I'm not sure the Periscope stuff's the best idea in the world.
Let's 865-200-5402. 865-200-5402. I don't even know my phone number. Tonight was terrible. Let's go back to our phones, get our next call in.
It wasn't as bad as my interview with Trent Johnson 2 weeks ago.
Boy, that Trent Johnson.
Man, like I said, he made Conzo Martin seem like Kevin Hart.
That's skinny Hal Hill, man.
And he's you.
Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
He settled east to Florida till I die. Basilio told him you'll forget in time. 11 years went slowly by. Those gangs still prey upon his mind. Picture of Phil in a jogging suit on his wall. Went half crazy now and then. He still loved him through it all. Maybe even the top they east again. Fit newspapers by his bed. 1998. He had underlined in red. Oh, and that boy's just great. I went to see him just today. Oh, but I didn't see no tears. All clad in orange next comes away. First time I've seen him smiling here. In Western Carolina today, they placed a wreath on Butch's door. 102,000 plus or minus feet paid. We beat Western Carolina today.
That is some outstanding work right there. Anytime you copy some Jones on a Saturday night.
That's even better than Chris Stapleton's version of Tennessee Whiskey.
I mean, that is freaking outstanding. I got to get the words to that. We got to get that thing recorded.
Oh.
Recorded.
A piece of trivia. Do you know that Tennessee Whiskey was written by a guy from Campbell County?
Segway.
Dean Dillon.
Wow. The Dean Dillon.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize he was from Campbell County.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On the way out, Hatfield, and it's been fun. Like I promised people, tonight's abbreviated edition.
Yeah, there's not
an hour of that is Somebody said, Lady Vafo Life said, he sings like you, Tony, and his song was reminds me of your head. Somebody just said that. People are really cruel. I mean, that's a cruel thing to say to me.
Now, that came in by Twitter or via Periscope?
That's a Periscoper.
I'm telling you, man, Periscope strikes me as the devil. I mean, we've already established that me on Twitter would be the dumbest idea of all time. I can't imagine how bad an idea Periscope for
me. We need to Periscope you Friday, your Friday show.
Oh, I don't think, like, I can't imagine.
You know what you can do with that camera? You turn that camera toward Briny Boy.
Oh,
crazy. I'll never forget that time that B-Ball Lee came into the studio, and he was shooting some publicity pictures. During one of our deals, we had X in here. That's right. X is in here in a mask. And he comes around the corner with that camera and starts snapping pictures of Brian Hartman. And Brian Hartman jumps under the console, is like laying on the floor screaming, get that effing camera out of here. It was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Oh, moron. Hatfield, CM Punk news tonight on the way out. Go ahead.
Yes, at UFC, I think it's 199 in June. CM Punk makes his debut.
Prediction: He'll have one fight, and he'll be back doing what he's doing, man.
You know, I think this is one of the rare times where I think the blood's so bad between he and the boss that I don't think he's going back to WWE at any point.
Yeah, but he's not going to do that Octagon stuff because somebody's going to fold him up like a cheap. Tent. He's going to walk in there with that gimmick CM Punk name, and he's going to walk out of there with his real name.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering about that, if who owns the CM Punk name? Because Vince
exactly.
Usually owns their names, but I mean, he had it before he went to Vince. So
good
knows?
Point. Hatfield, I love you like a brother, and that's how it's got to stay.
Got you, Joe.
Thank you, man. Love.
See you.
Hatfield presented by our friends at Clancy's. Somebody was asking me earlier, will you say a name, say a word about Earth, Wind, and Fire? We talked about that yesterday on the show. You know I'm a music freak. That breaks my heart. Maurice White passing away. 2016 is off to a horrible start. And for those of you listening around the World Wide Web tonight, please pray for the family of David Douglas and pray for his comfort. You know, it's ironic we're going to celebrate the Super Bowl tomorrow. David played in the Super Bowl when the last guy that had kind of a famous dance, Icky Woods, did the Icky Shuffle. And David was an offensive lineman from University of Tennessee who was a local boy, made good, went on. Stuck up there in Cincinnati. Anyway, he's got terminal cancer, and it's bad. It's bad. So, the Douglases have been through so much, and it so breaks my heart. And Carl is so sweet, and the daughter's so sweet, and they're just precious people. And Steve stopped me the other day, and his brother, and... Anyway, I just wanted to pass that along. So, tomorrow is the Super Bowl. Looking forward to that. I think it's going to be an interesting game. I think that... I'll tell you what scares me about tomorrow. If I'm betting on the game, and I'm not betting. Anytime America and everybody tells me that something's going to happen in sports... Very seldom does it work out that way. I have a feeling that the Broncos are going to win tomorrow, even though nobody in the country is picking them, and it makes no sense. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win. I think Carolina's better. Carolina should win. In fact, Carolina should win that game easily tomorrow. Not only should they win, they should win the game easily. Their team's better. They're a lot better. And that's why they're getting the rub. From people. People talking about the matchup, and it is a mess. I mean, Cam Newton's an unbelievable talent, and Peyton Manning's at the end of the line, and I mean, God forbid if he takes a shot tomorrow in that game, and the way Carolina gets after people,
offensively and defensively. But at any rate, thank you for joining. I want to thank my friends at Smartway, also your Garza Law Firm. It's been absolutely outstanding being with you tonight. We'll be back with you Tuesday when Tennessee and Auburn goes final. It will be a lot of fun Tuesday night. And if the Broncos win tomorrow night, I might come back here and do an emergency fifth quarter for the Vol fans so we can celebrate Peyton Manning's going off into the sunset as the world champion that he is. Might just do that. Then again, I've got to play music. I've got to play, I'm playing Monday morning at 8:30 to 10:30, an assembly. Playing some jazz, some bluegrass, some rock, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, some praise music. It's going to be a lot of fun. Till we meet again, for all those behind the scenes, I hope you have yourself a really great night, a blessed night. Until we meet again, for all those behind the scenes, pray for the Douglas family, would you? And thanks to our friends at Smartway and also your Garza Law Firm for presenting tonight's activity. Thank you, Keith Hatfield, for being there. One of our Book Corner features, this is for Beano, and for the passing of Maurice White of Earth, Wind, and Fire. Erica Blunt, Danois, Love, Peace, and Soul. It's the hippest trip on the hip trip. Let's look back at Soul Train.
Wonderful segment here coming your way. The author of a new book that I just came across that I want to share with you, Peace, Love, and Soul. Behind the scenes of America's favorite dance show, Soul Train Classic Moments, Erica Blount Danois joins me now. And Erica, the first thing I want to do is congratulate you on this, and I appreciate you being here. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Tony. Thank you for having me. I appreciate being on the show.
Share with me how you came to get interested in taking on a project like this.
Well, Soul Train was sort of a staple in our household, like most kids in the 70s. Soul Train, Bandstand, the Jackson 5 cartoons, karate movies. You know, that was all Saturday morning fun. So I watched it religiously and was talking yesterday about how you got some cachet on the playground if you watch Soul Train and you could talk about what happened that Saturday. And you also kind of got shunned if you didn't watch Soul Train and there was talk about what happened on Saturday. During that time period when we did not have the option of taping shows and DVRs and on-demand and all that stuff, really appointment TV. So every Saturday I was a fan, and you know, I grew up in a musical household. My father was a radio DJ and he worked at a record store, so we had a massive record collection of all kinds of music. So it was just really an extension to wondering what happened to the show. You know, at some point, probably like most people, I stopped watching it when other shows came on, you know, that were more niche, you know, like MTV, etc. So, you know, I looked for some of the favorite dancers of that time period and found them in the wildest places. One of the Asian dancers who was known for her long hair, she was working at LAX, and you know, I found some of the most popular ones, like Fred Barry from the show What's Happening. He had passed, but the people that were in the group with him, the Lockers, so people like Tony Basil did that song, Hey Mickey, She's So Fine, if you remember that. Found a bunch of those folks, and it just kind of grew from there, because once I found the dancers and found out what kind of things they had done after Soul Train, from choreographing for Mick Jagger and Michael Jackson and Rick James to, you know, even dancing for the Queen of England, just found out all of this other history that, you know, Don Cornelius owned the show and all the other offshoots of Soul Train, from Soul Train Club to a nightclub to Soul Train Records and award shows and all this other stuff. So it just kept kind of growing, and, you know, there it was.
You know, I noticed that in the book. It seems like, as you went along, the book kind of wrote itself. But let's go back to the beginning here. And when I say the book kind of wrote itself, I guess that's why it was so hard for me to put down, because I was thinking, you know, this is a chronological deal here, and we all know that the story didn't end too well for Don Cornelius. But before we even go anywhere near that, let's talk about the beginning. Mm-hmm. See, I grew up as a kid in Philadelphia, and, you know, the sounds of Philadelphia was my backdrop and all that stuff, and I'm a Caucasian male, but soul music in that town is such a part of the thread, the late 60s, early 70s, and that is just, you know, you don't realize it at the time. I feel sorry for young people today, because the music that they are calling their own as a part of their soundtrack of their lives, it's not the same as the stuff
not
we grew
even
up
close.
On. It's just,
not even close.
We were so blessed. But let's go back here. Don Cornelius. Don Cornelius is a guy who's sort of aimlessly kicking around Chicago at one point, and you tell his story. He's a cab driver at one point, and he sort of finds his way into radio. Share this. It's a great tale.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that he became the person that he did, because, you know, like many people, he was trying to find himself still in his mid-30s. So he had a young family. He had two sons and a wife. And he was just sort of, you know, going from job to job. So he was a police officer. He was a cab driver. He was an insurance salesman, and during a routine traffic stop, he had stopped someone when he was working as a police officer who happened to work at the local radio station. And, you know what Don Cornelius sounds like. So, he, you know, the radio guy was like, "You have an amazing voice. Have you ever thought about radio?" And he was like, "As a matter of fact, you know, I have." And the guy is a radio DJ. His name is Roy Wood, who worked at WVON in Chicago, and that's sort of how he broke into the media world. And from there, he didn't actually get the chance to be a DJ, and it was something that he had always dreamed about. Like, you know, he would practice in front of the mirror introducing artists like Marvin Gaye as a kid. So it was something that had always been in the back of his mind, but it was a very competitive, as you know, field, and he couldn't get a job as a DJ except when they were sick. So he came up with the concept of doing a dance show and using the template of radio in terms of, like, interviewing guests and interviewing even people that were just popular in that time period in the culture, so actors, musicians, comedians, etc. And then the style that, you know, the DJs had in the 70s, particularly in black radio, the rhyming style and the way that they had their signature sign-off and all that kind of stuff. So he brought that to TV, or rather to the pilot that he created. In the book, I talk a little bit about the Chicago local show, which was really modest for anybody who remembers UHF-TV. And for some kids who grew up with modest means, you know, the antenna that would always break, and it was a black and white station that came on every day after school, and the kids would come home, and Speed Racer came on before it, and then the show came on, and everybody took off immediately, because this was the first time that they were seeing themselves on TV. So that was the local program that he created, and then created a pilot from that and chopped it to L.A. But the networks were not interested, and so he ended up, you know, opted for syndication and traveled, you know, on his own dime to various cities to sell the show to affiliates.
Yeah, it's incredible.